Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic Med Spas located here in Pace, Florida. And today we're excited to be talking about a pretty hot topic that's been around for a long time, biohacking.
Yeah, biohacking. Had you thought about this much or heard about this before we planned the podcast topic?
I had, but not by those terms. Like when I first heard biohacking, it made me think about people walking around in white suits. And I realized that's biohazard. So, and then I started reading about it and I was like, oh, I know about this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What about you?
No, I mean, I've definitely heard the term. I didn't know tons about it. I didn't refer to it in necessarily this manner as biohacking. But, it's kind of a term that's broad and has been used by a lot of people to more or less describe, things that we can do to change our biology to enhance our metabolism for faster weight loss, for anti-aging, for sexual performance. So it's things that we can do with different sorts of supplements, even some medications, to really kind of change our biology. And so when we look at it that way, I'm like, yeah, I did know about it. And it's something that, I've been interested in. And really doing some form of, personally for quite a while. So under the guidance of a naturopathic physician, really kind of helping me optimize some of my biology.
Well, I think probably to some extent, all of us have. It's been around since the 80s. The movement kind of started in San Francisco, and the father of biohacking, if you want to call him that, is Dave Asprey. And it all started with a diet movement. And so that's really where it started. And so if you want to think about how, the simplistic part of it being as simple as your diet, then it's kind of like a DIY biology. Like you're kind of doing something to your own biology just by different things that you do to manipulate your body. So I don't think it's necessarily a strange phenomenon to any of us, but just not in those terms.
Yeah, I think it's now got more, a little more formalized, because now there's not just diet or lifestyle changes, but we're looking at medications and technologies. So even things like our, smartwatches and things that kind of help us monitor our sleep, the quality, the number of hours, how restless we are. We know that all those things can not just affect our longevity, but the amount of time that we're actually healthy and able to enjoy our life. So it's the health span, not just the lifespan. And so we have a lot of technology now that's kind of helping us optimize all of those different aspects of our lives. And so I do think this field is kind of exploding a little bit, and definitely something I'm interested in learning more about.
There's so many tools now that are available. I mean, you talk about smartwatch. We have apps on even our beds that tell us, how many times we roll over at night, how many times we wake up at night, and apps that change from your bed to help with snoring, which improves your sleep habits, which improves just your overall health. And so, it's really crazy to think about where we were 10 years ago, which is really recent, and where will we be? I feel like we're in fast forward mode now. What will be happening in the next 10 years?
Exactly. And I think the other thing that was kind of a little bit maybe a misperception on my behalf, but when I was thinking of things like biohacking, I was in my mind thought this was all natural. So I was thinking more vitamin supplements, herbal things, not prescription medications. But in fact, the more I prepared for this actual this podcast, I was looking into it, it involves prescription medications as well. So when we're looking at things to improve brain for performance, things like stimulants and some of the medications that we use to really help, let's say, shift workers at night. So people who work night shift, many of you know I've worked night shift for years in the ICU, and there are medications that we can really use as a biohacking tool to kind of help our body adjust more rapidly from a day to night schedule. So this is a broad category of technology, of prescription medications, supplements, and vitamins and herbs and lifestyle changes that are all used to really optimize our biology and maybe trick our biology sometimes, trick us into thinking that it's day instead of night, for instance, in that example of night shift workers. So that was a little bit something I had to wrap my head around, because I was thinking forever, this is just, you know, people that are doing a healthier lifestyle through exercise, vitamins, and supplement.
It's really broad. There's so many things, like you said, that go into it. The pharmaceutical part, I really didn't even think about whenever I was reading about all of this. I didn't think about the pharmaceutical side of it so much as the, you know, the infrared lights and the cold plunges and the saunas and the things like that that are readily available to a lot of people. It doesn't take a lot of money to do some of these things, because when you think about biohacking and, you know, it being like a California thing, you just automatically assume that it's very expensive, and it can be, but there are also a lot of things that we can do, you know, sleep, exposure to sunlight, you know, diet, nutrition, exercise. I mean, all of these things go into the whole biohacking model.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think is, you know, fascinating that's really kind of changed the way I feel, my energy level, and really not through an intentional process, accelerated weight loss. I would want to lose weight. I seem to hold on to it as I got older. But we look in this category of nutrigenomics. And so that's where we look at nutrition and how genetically each of us process foods differently. And I think for a long time, we would just think calorie restriction, or some people would do better on a certain type of diet. And so they would know, like, hey, I felt great when I did, a low carb diet or a Mediterranean diet, whatever the case may be. But we didn't put a lot of science behind that. Now there are a lot of tools out there that are available that we can test. We can look at specific genes. And if somebody doesn't have the money to go through all the expensive testing to find out genetically what they may or may not be predisposed to, and which types of diets and supplements may work better for them, then we also know that we can really look at a detailed history and sometimes just place that together through very rudimentary, simple methods of just keeping detailed journals and tracking how these different things make us feel. But it's nice to know that there are things now that we can test for and actually tie a lot of this together. For me personally, through some of the lab work that I obtained, I had a lot of inflammatory processes going on in my body, and probably most of that was diet related. And so we had on some of our other podcasts, we've talked about inflammatory changes in the body. And we, on one of our episodes, we have Dr. Betsy Greenleaf, and we talked about, you know, gut brain health and gut health related to how the pelvic floor in that particular episode. But one of the things I realized is with all the inflammation, it made it very hard to lose weight. I was tired most of the time. And through some simple dietary changes and actually a few few vitamin supplements, really was able to change that. And then once that changed, I have been able to lose weight, something I haven't been able to do in a number of years now. So it's interesting when we look at biohacking, how we can use nutrition and supplements that are very tailored and specific to our genetic makeup to achieve some of our long-term health goals.
You've had help from Dr. Steven Soar.
Yeah, Dr. Steven Soar, will put a link in this podcast. If you look down below, he's at Source of Health. He's a naturopathic physician out in Arizona. Absolutely phenomenal. Spends a lot of time on your consult and in your evaluation, going over your labs in detail, really more than any of my primary care traditional healthcare providers have ever done. So I really cannot say enough good things about him and how that has changed my energy, the quality of life. I think the way I look, the way I feel, and really a lot of that started with my, when I saw him speak at a conference. He speaks at a lot of conferences nationally. And after watching him present, I told you, I was like, I really think I want to go see him as a patient, and definitely been one of the better decisions that I've made.
You've been doing this for three or four months?
3 or 4 months, yeah.
And like, I've seen a big change, and I think your energy level, I don't personally know how you do everything that you do, but like you continue to do it and you don't seem tired, where before you were doing probably a third of some of the stuff that you're doing now and were exhausted. You know, so I attribute a lot of it to, you know, a change in diet, a change in supplements that you're on. I'm sure decreased inflammation will be real interesting to see when you get your labs drawn next. Like,
I was supposed to have my labs already this week, so you want to share with people why I didn't?
Because he got fake teeth. And
making fun of my teeth.
So Chris went to Austin and he's been wanting veneers for a long time. And we were teaching a course in San Juan last weekend, and his temporary veneer cracked. And so he unfortunately had the assistance of Dennis Jerry here, and we put it back together with some crazy glue and got him through until he saw our local dentist, Dr. Heath, who has got him patched up until he can get his...
Yeah, I love my veneers. Even the temporaries, I really love them. And I was so happy about him. I had, like, you know, talked about him the whole week to Jerry. He was probably sick of hearing how happy I was. And then, of course, in the middle of a seminar, you know, just probably through chewing, chipped the front of one of them, and it's the very front tooth. So I have been off my diet, eating soft foods pretty much, but definitely things that I had not been eating the past few months. And so I don't want to go get my labs right in the middle of this, because I've been working so hard. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go get them, and they're going to be all screwed up. And
Chris is extremely competitive in any aspect of his life. And so to make his labs better the next time than they were the last time is a huge, like, he's in competition with himself. So anybody that doesn't know that about you just doesn't know you very well, but he is very, very competitive.
So let's talk about some other things with biohacking. So, I mean, I think, you know, nutritional supplements, knowing your, you know, genetic makeup and how some of these things may impact you are all kind of fun things to do. And then there's definitely prescription medications. But you mentioned right before we came on, started this episode, about some things you found interesting about cold water or cold plunges. And so how that can be a form of biohacking.
Yeah, even like cold plunges can even like raise testosterone levels. And you know, it's one of those things that I just didn't realize. I knew that it was a big trend that was going on right now. You know, helps with muscle recovery, and a lot of people do it for fitness purposes, but I had no idea about the benefit from a hormonal standpoint. And so I'm sure that there are many others that are out there. Sleep patterns is something that's huge for
well, there's the cold plunges, and then just kind of in staying in that line, there's also the infrared saunas. So I mean, we have the hot and cold therapies, and there's some interesting science behind both of those, and you know how we can do heavy metal detoxification through some of the sweating. And so we know that there's people who, you know, work in maybe a humid or a hot environment and sweat outdoors, and they feel better after a long day of work and sweating. And we can get some of those same benefits from infrared saunas. Through the cold plunges, we can get, you know, there's a lot of mediators that are released to modulate pain, to stimulate immune function. And so definitely some things with hot and cold plunges. And then we get into this whole thing on sleep cycle regulation and the quality of sleep and duration of sleep.
I think sleep cycle is one of those things that's really underrated, or even understudied is probably not right, because there's a lot of information out there on it. And that was one of the things when you were talking to your initial consult with Dr. Sore and talking about working night shift. And I think that was one of the first things he told you, is like, you got to stop, you know, because an irregular sleep cycle is just detrimental to your health.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of the things he recommended for me. And I know many of you out there listening may, you know, be in similar situations. The patients are sick around the clock. And so we have a lot of not just healthcare providers, but providers in different service industries, emergency medical response teams, the hospitality industries, like hotel workers, et cetera, that have to work the night shift. So they have to pay their bills. They have to support their families. And so it's easy enough to say, stop doing it. But there are people that need services during those hours. And so then we look at how can we use these biohacking tools to our advantage to really say, okay, we know it's not ideal, but in these suboptimal conditions, how can we have optimal performance? You know, there's really these minor things that we talk about and maybe have a pretty major effect. So their minor lifestyle changes have a big effect, but there are also some more, you know, extreme forms of biohacking as well. When you were preparing for this, did you notice anything super extreme? I'm thinking about things like implantable devices to monitor our health so we know what's going on every second, right? So I was reading about microchips that can be implanted, electronic tattoos that can be implanted. And so we're really monitoring our biology like every second of the day and getting detailed reports. Can you imagine how crazy that would make me?
No.
If I had that, I would be looking at that data all the time.
I would love to tell people that I had you microchipped. If I told somebody I had your ass microchipped, they would die.
Go ahead, put a GPS tracker. You would see it bouncing all over the place, all right? You know, and another, really, you mentioned Dave Asprey, right? And I think there's, reports of him. I don't know if he's publicly stated or not, but at least I've read reports of him getting, like, stem cells harvested from his bone marrow and injected into all his joints to live, you know, to be, I don't know, 150, 180 years old. So really kind of some extreme things. There's people who put themselves in hyperbaric chambers to get exposure to these super physiologic amounts of oxygen, again, to look at how they can extend their life. So with biohacking, there's several components to it. One is looking at optimizing our life now, and the other is looking at life extension and how we can use all of these tools that we have and the knowledge that we have to extend life. And so then it's kind of fascinating to me because as I read it and as I think about it, you have people that can be extreme like him and probably myself. If I had access to a lot of this, I can see that I would be somebody who would try it. But then we avoid doing simple things that we know could extend life or health, such as daily sunscreen, right? We preach it. We talk about it every day in the practice. We tell every patient to do it. We know that UV damage is one of the things that really can accelerate the aging process. It can be responsible for tons of cancers. And even for me, it's sitting on the counter. It's something that we retail in the clinic, and it's hard for me to remember to put it on every day. So I'll go to an extreme and go put myself in a hyperbaric chamber, but I'm going to have trouble remembering something super simple like daily sunscreen.
So you're not doing sunscreen. You're not getting microchipped.
I'm not getting microchipped. I'd wear sunscreen. I like the tinted effect. It's more because I think it blurs my pores than the sun protection that I'm getting from it. So let's just be clear. I think to me, I always like to kind of have a take-home message for our audience. And so I think the take-home message to me for this episode is to bring awareness to this field of biohacking. I think it opened the door to many people that may not know these sorts of things exist, or they may not know the term for it. And also start a conversation with our audience. I want to know what they want to know more about. So we can invite guests on that are experts. I would love if we can get Dr. Sore on at some point in the future. He's definitely a wealth of knowledge to share from. But there's also others in our area that are doing forms of this. And I would love to have them on to talk to us in more detail about it. But the other thing that I really would like to kind of take home, make a bullet point, star this message is, a lot of these things, although they're great and they have some reported advantages, you need to do them under the guidance of a healthcare provider. So we can read about all this stuff on, you know, Google and look it up, but some of them can have dangers associated with them.
And like to keep in mind that extremes of any of these things can be dangerous. And so, you know, even though they may seem simple and benign, if used to the extreme, that they can be dangerous. So like you said, it should be guided by a medical professional. A lot of things that we can do, you know, in our personal life that are very simple as far as like our diet and our exercise and our sleep and those sort of things, decreasing your stress level. Those are like very simple basics of biohacking. But once you get into some of these other things, like seek some advice.
Well, even things like, cold plunges, they may have benefits, but there are maybe risks depending on the degree of cold, how long you're in it, and your underlying health conditions. It may not be something if you have, unstable coronary artery disease that you need to be plunging yourself into cold water. You're going to be putting yourself at some risk. So again, a healthy lifestyle in general, we definitely always recommend, but any of these other tools that you're going to try, for sure, talk to a healthcare professional about it. And, you know, if this is what you're interested in, and find someone who specializes in biohacking in your area. Certainly, we want to bring some of those experts on our podcast throughout this year, later on this year. That would be great. And for anybody out there listening to this, any of our listeners, go ahead and submit through one of our social media channels, through our YouTube channel. You can find this on our YouTube channel this whole podcast, but go ahead and submit topics that you want to hear around this biohacking, and we can maybe get into a little bit more depth on some of these therapies, like the hot or cold plunges, our stem cell transports, transplants, our things like ozone therapies. All of these are forms of biohacking that we can certainly talk more about, depending on what you guys are interested in.
There's a lot to be explored there.
Yep. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to talking to you next week.
See you soon.